Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, let us pray, you can. Also, surprising numbers on abortion. And hide your women, your liquor, and your money. The legislature's coming to town.
I love a parade. A handful of vets, a line of cadets for any brigade. For I love a parade.
Oh, yeah?
Somebody's gonna have to clean up this mess. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and today I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, columnist and investigative reporter at APR. Welcome.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Here today outside the beautiful downtown Atala in the rain.
Yeah.
It's been a soggy.
Yeah, it's been a rough night for everybody in North Alabama, I would say.
Yeah. Well, it's...
It is March.
It's March.
Alabama.
I mean, March floods bring April floods.
Spring in Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, the legislature comes in this week. God help us all. Who knows what'll be the outcome of all that.
I had less money.
Yeah, you will after this, too. Senate President Pro Tem Greg Reed has recently said that, you know, their first priority is the ARPA funds, the COVID relief money, about $1 billion of that. And he talked about they want to use it for infrastructure, water, sewage. Also, he mentioned that it needs to address mental health and hospitals. And so, Susan, those are two key components that we haven't heard a lot about yet.
No, we haven't, and I think it's so important. Like we talked about last week with the drug problems we have in Alabama, you know, not only do we have to address the, you know, normal mental health issues that we have, they can use this to now incorporate something like the St. Clair County drug program so that we can really help people. Also, the hospitals, if you really revitalize the hospitals, children won't have to go two counties over to see their pediatrician. If you open up these rural hospitals again, and the doctors will flow to the hospitals, which will help people in the rural area have better health care.
Josh, and the other thing that got me thinking about is you got some, 60,000 people or more that will come off of Medicaid the 1st of April. They come off the rolls because they were put on during the pandemic. This is going to put 60,000 Alabamians without any type of health insurance at all. And I don't know if they're thinking about that much, but if you think about it, the fact that, you know, we ought to have a program where at least, you know, if you've got insurance through your employer, you keep that insurance. But if you don't have insurance at all, you should have a way or a means to get insurance. We keep talking about health insurance. We also keep talking about education and job creation. You cannot have good education outcomes or job creation without a healthy workforce or healthy students.
No, you can't. And those, I'll remind everybody that while the 60,000 coming off of Medicaid benefits is terrible and will cost us all money, they will join roughly 250,000 other Alabamians who already fall into that Medicaid gap and who also have no insurance, no health coverage, and who drive up costs for all the rest of us. That's the reason some of our costs are so high. So it is, you're right, it is very beneficial for the state as a whole. And it to have some sort of a program, I don't know, maybe you expand Medicaid. Let's just go crazy. And you expand Medicaid and you offer some options out there for those folks that fall into that gap. In return for that, You also then strengthen the hospitals. You create more opportunities for rural health care to be sustainable for a longer period of time. And you can then attract doctors and other health care professionals to some areas where you don't have them right now. There are, what, 37 counties that don't have a pediatrician in this state? Yeah. I mean, imagine that. Imagine that. It's you know, as I have a four-year-old. You know what? What would we do without the pediatricians that we go to? Great people, and you're there all the time.
And you got to remember, just because somebody doesn't have health insurance, they can't be, you know, if they've got an emergency situation and they go to a hospital cannot turn them away, and that's good. But what happens is it causes the cost of the hospital to go up, which means the cost to the insurance company goes up, which means the cost to us goes up.
Right, and the problem is that there is this ideological, I would say, fallacy, that they should be against this because it was started under Obamacare. I mean, it's just not, and you see a lot of red states now expanding Medicaid. I mean, I don't know that you've got to expand it so it covers everybody right away, but it could be phased in, and we can afford it.
Yeah,
we can afford it, but
and is it really a Christian idea not to take care of people?
Yeah, that's true. We cannot afford this.
And is it really a Christian idea just not to take care of people because you don't like somebody's ideology?
Yes, it is. Very
well. Listen, you know, if we're actually talking about taking care of people, there's a whole lot of other options that we should be talking about. You know what I mean?
And, okay, I'm getting up.
There are a lot of countries around the world that do health care much, much better than we do. And let's just be honest about that. And and this all this socialized medicine nonsense that we hear scream from the rooftops whenever this is brought up, when we're talking about Medicare for all or what have you. It's nonsense in the most part, and you talk to these people from these other countries and talk about their healthcare system, and you realize that pretty quickly.
I mean, we've got great healthcare if you can afford it.
Right,
that's the thing.
That's the thing.
I want to move on talking about Bill HB 35 by Tracy Estes. I introduced a bill that will make it codify into law that you can pray. You can have Christian prayer before a football game or any type of sporting event in the school, that you can pray at certain times in school and, you know, at student events, if they want to have prayer there, this would make it a law that says they can. Of course, Susan, there is no law right now that says they can't.
Once again, an example of wasting time and money, trying to have a bill and have discussion on something a problem does not exist with. And when they should be concentrating on the stuff we just discussed instead of wasting time on silly bills like this.
The art of governing, identifying the problem that doesn't exist and applying the wrong solution, right?
Well, you know, the people in Tracy Estes' district should be angry. And that's that. I mean, it's on them. It's on them to go and say, hey, here are all the problems that apparently you don't know about here, because you're wasting our time with this. And that's all this is. This is a person who does not know enough about the district to identify the actual problems and create legislation that endears him to the people of his district. That's all there is to this.
Yep. This is just another pandering bill that wastes a lot of time and accomplishes absolutely zero. But we're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics.
There seems to be a new wave of aggressive driving lately.
You see those people, they are the ones that are tailgating other people because they have to get through their destination now.
Weaving in and out of traffic, looks like they could care less about who's around them. There's no one else on the roadway. They're the only one there.
Aggressive driving can be the difference between life and death.
All because somebody thought they needed to be the front of the line and get there first.
Slow down. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
My dog Jupiter is frightened when I climb too high, the owl said.
Check for monsters, Daddy.
I did, honey. There are no monsters. You're perfectly safe.
Protect yourself and those you love. Vaccinate now.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. At the recent meeting of the Alabama Republican Party, a unanimous vote was taken to abolish diversity, equality, and inclusion policies in all state institutions. This has been a program that has been widely successful and implemented throughout the country, both in business and in public institutions. Josh, this is more of the same sort of culture wars, because I don't know how you can be against diversity and equity and inclusion. I mean, this includes everything up to age discrimination, discrimination against women. This is not some LGBTQ or some far left agenda. I mean, this is talking about we welcome everyone and we're trying to learn how to do it better.
Yeah, this is hey, let's examine our policies and make sure that we're treating everybody on equal footing and on equal ground. That's what these things were designed for. That's what the lessons are about. It's about learning about your fellow employees and the people that work under you in the company, so you can identify what's led them to this point in their lives and what hurdles they've had to jump through. Maybe things to look for that have affected other people. And, we have a pay gap. We have all sorts of other things that we could talk about with this. But it's, I never imagined that anybody would ever be bold enough to say out loud that we're against diversity, equity, and inclusion. I mean, it's what a world now that we're living in, that this is a thing that where we believe equal footing is somehow a slap in the face to people. And you know what this is a dog whistle to aggrieved white people that sit around watching Fox News all damn night long and talking about how terrible things are for the white man. That's all this is. It's just a call to those people to say, hey, we got you back, all right? And then on the backside of it to go, whoa, who are you calling racist? This is this nonsense where you knock these things down that's all about fairness and then pretend like you don't have any idea why people are calling you a racist.
I mean, come on, let's be honest here. This is another step past CRT for going back in time. And like you said, Josh, I mean, I told Bill when I first heard about this, the next thing you know, they're going to have, separate water fountains again.
Yeah.
For everybody. That's where this is headed if they continue on this.
Yeah, they just won't be able to agree on who gets the second water fountain.
That's true.
Right?
Everybody but them.
Everybody.
Right. Everybody else.
They get the good water fountain.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
and you're honestly, we're a step away from somebody arguing for separate but equal again. And that's kind of what they're doing with school choice. Let's be honest. They're arguing again for separate but equal. It's unimaginable to me that we're back to this point. It's unimaginable.
I talk to young people a lot, just by nature of what we do. We always work with a lot of young people. And they are baffled at these things because they see the world, Gen Z especially, through a lens that is accepting of most of them accept everybody. They don't see the type of things that happened even in the 70s. They're not aware of that. Mm-hmm. And so they see the Republican Party by and large as mean and hostile to their friends. And this is not a winning strategy. It is for the moment, but it is not a winning strategy in the long run. And it's actually cruel.
Yeah, it is.
To do this.
And I'll tell you who else doesn't get it either are a lot of business leaders out there.
That's right.
Who are running major corporations and even minor corporations, because Michael Jordan famously once said, when people criticized him for not going after Republicans or taking a stronger social stance, hey, Republicans buy shoes too. Well, you know what?
Right.
There are a lot of people in this country, non-white people, non-white males, non-white Christian males, that buy products, that shop in stores, that these people want to do business with, and they don't want to hurt them, and they want to also tap into employees who look like the customers that they're trying to attack and have those experiences, so they can better market and they can better sell their products and better serve those people.
And let's not forget that these are the same legislators that are talking about bringing business to Alabama, getting companies to move here. You think a company's not going to look at these sorts of things before they invest their business in Alabama?
Well, it is not serious. It is a idea that is drafted to stir up the base.
It is.
That's all it is. Josh, you mentioned wage gap. Huge thing. In 2022, the legislature put together a task force to study the wage gap in Alabama. Mm-hmm. They just released their final report, and it's not shocking. The remedies will be hard for them to implement because of the very nonsense that they talked about. But the final report talked about, you know, equal pay protection mm-hmm. for women. And it talked about investing in child care. And it also talked about working on the pipeline to get women and girls into the workforce. There's a lot of other things here, Susan. But this was a big deal. They've identified the problems. Now will they put the legislation in place to make something happen?
You brought up the 70s. I want to stick with that. Because women right now are being paid 67 cents for every dollar a man earns. That's only up about 20 cents from what it was in the 1970s. And if you're Hispanic or black female, it's only 51 to 41 cents, respectively, for every dollar a white man earns.
Wait a minute, so the minority women are paid less, and we would need to get rid of diversity, equality, and inclusivity training?
There you
is that
go.
Right?
Yes,
there you
yes,
go.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that I think that is, and most women will agree, that is keeping women out of the workforce is lack of daycare, because when they go to work for $67 $0.67 on the dollar for what a man works, they can't afford the daycare. The daycare actually ends up costing more than what they're earning.
Well, and I think, and this is straight from the report, and we're going to have to get out of here quickly. The gender gap in Alabama is a result of structural and systematic factors, including occupational segregation, discriminatory practices, and low labor force participation by women. No, we don't need the other stuff, right?
Yeah. No DEI. No DEI.
No DEI. No DEI.
Yeah, let's waste our time on prayers where they're already existing.
Well, I mean, but this study that was commissioned by our legislature, mm-hmm. which is a great study.
Yeah, we'll see what they do with
shows it. The potential to improve. Will they do it?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
We'll see.
All right, you're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
Throughout my career, I've seen many crashes, and a lot of the fatalities are from people who haven't worn their seatbelt.
Cars have rolled over multiple times. I've had people end up in lakes, ravines. I've been looking for people in the woods for a couple hours before.
Usually just about every bone in their body is broken, their organs have ruptured, and typically they die.
You want to save a life? Just simply click a button and put the seatbelt on.
Seatbelts really do save lives.
There was an old woman who lived in a shoe. She had so many children, she didn't know what to do. She gave them some broth without any bread and kissed them all soundly.
Lights out.
Good night.
And put them to bed. Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org.
Speed is one of the biggest factors in a fatal car crash. Your car stops, but your body does not stop at the same time. Your body keeps going, you know, and that could be running into your seatbelt, that could be hitting the airbag, something has to stop it, and unfortunately, it's something very hard.
There have been times that we've come upon accidents where if people weren't speeding, they'd probably still be alive today.
It's truly dangerous, and it puts everybody at risk.
There's just no point to it.
This kind of stuff has got to stop.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Always a sensitive subject, touchy subject, whenever you talk about abortion. But what we try to do here is not get into necessarily one side or the other, but look at the facts. Just look, here are the facts. A recent study by the Public Religion Research Institute, very, very well-known group, well-respected group, found that 64% of Americans still believe abortion should be legal in all or most cases. Specifically, 30% of Americans feel abortion should be legal in all cases. 34% support abortion being legal in most cases, while 25% of Americans believe abortion should be illegal in most cases. 9% believe it should be illegal in all cases. The amazing thing to me, Josh, is that this study shows that 55% of Alabamians believe that abortion should be legal in all or most cases, and only 12% of Alabamians believe it should be illegal in all cases.
So let me see if I have this correct. We have passed legislation and currently have in law a statute that 88% of the population does not believe in.
That's correct. That is correct.
It's good politics.
So much. So this was one of the strongest abortion laws in the United States.
The thing is, and this may be a window into a systemic problem, is that only 12% of Alabamians believe that abortion should be illegal in all cases. Yet that's the law. I think this 12% is the 12% that controls state government through the intimidation that they have over Republican politicians in primaries.
You think about CRT. You think about transgender children. You think about any of the E or whatever we're talking about, EDI. You're talking about prayer and ball games. And then you think about back to that 12%. It gives you a different perspective on those proposed laws.
I mean, I was really surprised by these numbers, but once you look at them, you realize those are some politics, that it is the 12% that are the tyranny. That's the tyranny of the minority right there.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's a, well, I'll tell you what it is. It's evidence of the gerrymandering that has taken place in this state, where we have divided things up, that small portion of people, and we've talked about this before. We've talked about how guys got elected in the House of Representatives by getting, 600 votes? You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's nonsense. It's they're representing. We've tamped down political engagement through gerrymandering because we know that this guy's going to get elected. This person doesn't have a chance. The Democrat can't win here. The Republican can't win there. So we've killed engagement across the board, and then you've shrunk it down to these few people, and then those few people can only elect this one person over here, and so now you've got 12% controlling what's out there, because all they're worried about is getting beaten in a primary. They're not worried about the general election at all in almost every case. And so that's what has to change. And how the rest of this state is not up in arms about the way our maps are created and why we couldn't go to a fair commission of people that create these things is beyond me. But this is the problem. And it's if you look at what happened in the midterms, this is not really surprising. The abortion issue drove Democrats to doing much better than anybody thought they were going to do. And to think that you could do this and just ignore the wishes across the country of so many women and other people, it's idiotic. But this is the way it is here because of the way the system has been rigged to favor this.
Right. Well, I think, and you don't have to be pro-choice to understand that we live, supposedly, in a democracy that has a representative government that should represent the people, not just a small portion of the people who can get you elected in a primary.
Right.
Yeah. I just wish, and I know that's not what you meant, but you know, there are more than two choices in this, in the abortion debate. There's not just pro-life and pro-choice or whatever.
That's right.
You know, there are a whole lot. You know, I fall somewhere in the middle of that, you know, and because I think there should be some level of restriction, but it should be, you know, decided among women and healthcare professionals with some sort of oversight with what's taking place at certain periods of time. So, but that's just me, and you know, and I understand that that's not necessarily my place, and so you're right. It just drives me insane that we've taken these complicated issues, the gun issue, the abortion issue, everything else, and boiled them down to us versus them, and then we've decided it based on gerrymandering of the entire system.
Well, and it just, it's one of those things that when you look at it in black and white, by the numbers, mm-hmm. you go, how did we get here? How did we get here? I mean, and of course, we can go back to the 80s. We can look at the late 70s, the early 80s, and see how the Republican Party was co-opted by the religious right. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, because you used to have, you know, people that were Republicans who were pro-life. Mm-hmm. You used to have Democrats, who were pro-choice. And you used to have Democrats who were pro-life. But
everybody was pro-choice before the 70s. I mean, it was just, you know, it was just everybody was pro-choice.
That's historic. Yeah, I know. It's just one of those things.
They've taken this galvanizing issue, and they now have, in light of that, they've multiplied it out into transgender youth. They've multiplied it out into other things as well. And we're talking about 12%. 12% is dictating what's going on in our legislature.
Well, we don't have very long left in this show, and I'm sure there are people who are happy to know that. This past week, we passed 23,000 mm-hmm. Alabamians dead of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. If that is not sobering, Josh, I don't know what is.
Yeah, it's, and we still have people who treat it so flippantly and who talk about it as though the whole thing was a hoax. That's what drives me nuts about that.
Those 23,000 people don't think it was a hoax.
No, and their loved ones don't think.
Yeah, and their loved ones who are missing them. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the hospitals had nearly 400 people with COVID-19 in the hospital in serious condition this last week. So mm-hmm. it is not gone away, but we need to remember those who were lost to this deadly pandemic and try to ignore those idiots who tried to make it not real.
Yeah.
But anyway, you've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them. We'll be right back.